Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. At some point of your life, have you ever been used as a scapegoat? You might be familiar with the word scapegoat, but bear with me for a little history lesson. The word scapegoat comes from God's command in the book of Leviticus. On Yom Kippur, Israel's Day of Atonement, the high priest would ceremonially prepare himself and the people to receive the forgiveness of sins of God. The Lord commanded that three animals be brought forward on the Day of Atonement, one bull calf and two goats. First, the high priest would sacrifice the bull, and he would take the blood of the bull into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle some of it on the mercy seat, and the rest he would pour out in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Next, the priest would go back out, and he would cast lots over the two goats. And the goat which the lot had fallen to, that goat would be also sacrificed, taking his blood back into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled in the same way. The first blood sacrifice of bulls was for the priests and the high priest himself. The second sacrifice of blood was for the Holy of Holies and all the holy things. Lastly, the priest went to the live goat, and he put his hands on the goat's head and prayed all of the sins and trespasses of the entire nation onto that goat. Then, immediately following that, someone who was selected earlier would lead that goat off into the wilderness to be released and deserted and ultimately be killed by wild animals. That poor abandoned creature became known as the scapegoat. And he still stands as a symbol for one who is blamed for the crimes and the sins of others. In our gospel lesson today, we meet the true scapegoat. While sinners such as you and I look around trying to find someone else to blame for all of our transgressions, God the Father came and placed all of the blame for mankind's transgressions upon Jesus. In our everyday lives, you and I, regardless of age, were always looking for a scapegoat. In our childhood years, it's usually our siblings we blame for things we might break in the house or who stole the cookies from the cookie jar. And then we blame our friends when we get a little older, when we get in late at night, or when something is found hidden away in our backpacks. At school, we blame our teachers for being too tough on us, or the teacher overreacted to what I said in class. Always looking for that scapegoat. As adults in our daily lives and vocations, we play a different game called pin the blame on the scapegoat. It's my coworker's fault. He's the one that slowed down the project. Or it's my boss's fault because he didn't give me explicit directions. Our government does it all the time. So why shouldn't we follow their lead and play the blame game? Those of us who are married, we probably play that blame game too. The spouse always comes in really handy when it's time for a scapegoat. And that trick is as old as creation itself. In our Old Testament text, when God came to Adam and Eve and asked, "Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Well, Eve, she was all right. She blamed the serpent. It was the serpent's fault. But man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." You know, on the surface, it's bad enough that Adam appears to be blaming that woman. But in reality, he's blaming God. That woman that you gave me, if you wouldn't have given me this crazy woman, I would have never eaten of the apple or eaten of the fruit. So when's the last time that you have blamed God and used him as the scapegoat? Was it when the world seemed to be working against you and everything you did? Oh, I'd never catch a break. Everything always works against me. Even though you pray earnestly, you still seem to be stuck in your rut. Or maybe it's when you lost your job or got in an argument with family and friends and have and have become estranged. Possibly it's when your marriage had failed. But the fact of the matter is, you and I are responsible for our own problems. And not just the problems, we're responsible for the consequences that are a result of those problems. In the history of mankind, there's only been one time when a scapegoat needed to rightly be claimed. By the mercy of God, in Jesus' baptism, Jesus was washed with the waters of the Jordan, but he was loaded up with the sin of mankind. God placed your sins on Jesus' shoulders in his baptism, and all the blame that goes along with those sins landed upon God's only begotten Son. And as sure as the Old Testament scapegoat carried those sins far off and away, Jesus also carries your sins far off to be forgotten. Whereas the scapegoat was led into the wilderness by a man abandoned to meet its doom, immediately following Jesus' baptism, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. Although Jesus was not abandoned, Satan was put on his track to tempt him in every way imaginable. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was left alone to battle the devil. And even while being emaciated due to lack of food and water, Jesus was content to feed on every word of God the Father. He was content to do those things, keeping God's law perfectly, that you and I cannot do. He did it all on your behalf. Just as the Old Testament scapegoat was led away to die, some 3 years later after his baptism, Jesus was led outside of the city of Jerusalem to be put to death. While the goat was likely killed by animals out in the wilderness, Jesus was killed by vicious, heartless, and unbelieving men. The goat, though, didn't know in advance what his fate was. The goat quietly just followed his leader. Not so with Jesus. He was silent. He followed the leader, but he knew well in advance that he was going to be put to death. And even while we were still sinners, trying to shift the blame off to this scapegoat or that one, it pleased Jesus to take the blame for all of your sins and transgressions as he went to the cross. So while comparisons between this Old Testament goat and Jesus could be many, there is one stark difference. The goat was led off in the wilderness, never to return. Jesus indeed was scourged and beaten to a bloody pulp and nailed to the cross, dying a criminal's death. And then they placed his corpse in the tomb, but after 3 days, Jesus returned, arisen from the grave, life breathing from his lungs. He had already ascended into hell to proclaim victory over sin, death, and the devil. And then he came back and showed himself as true God and true man. He returned to his people, leaving all those sins in the wilderness of the grave, banished forever, never to be spoken of again. So throughout your life, you've probably named a scapegoat or two. And as a matter of fact, each and every one of us is in dire need of a scapegoat. So who's it going to be? Who do you look to? Look no further than to the one who took your blame, the one who took all of your blame upon himself. As the writer of the Hebrews says, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In this world, when people try to make you to be the scapegoat, you protest. Pin the blame where the blame lies. Punish the guilty. But that's not the way Jesus works. You know you've sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, and you know that you should be carrying the guilt of your sin into eternal damnation. But this morning, you also know that you can celebrate, that you have a scapegoat who voluntarily stepped forward so that God could lay all of your sins and the sins of mankind on his shoulders, so he could take away those sins, so he could go to the cross and suffer all of God's wrath for those sins, so he could pay the price to pay the wages of sin for you, even the sin of your naming all these other scapegoats in your life. Rejoice that in your baptism that you were baptized into Christ Jesus' death. Since you were buried with him in baptism, you also might live a new life, being raised from the dead on the last day. You see, you have put on Christ. You've taken your robe and washed it in the blood of the Lamb. And what was a dirty, sin-stained robe is now clean and white because of that blood. Rejoice this morning that the scapegoat comes to you on this very altar in Jesus' body and blood. He doesn't come to us in word and sacrament to accuse us of past sins that have already been forgiven. No, he comes to us in his body and blood and in his word to bring life and strengthening of faith, forgiveness, and salvation. God's already blotted out all your sins. Jesus isn't going to bring them up because God remembers them no more. When the scapegoat comes, he brings what you need: forgiveness and the hope of everlasting life. Today, God reminds you that Jesus has saved you not only through his bloody sacrifice and death, but also in our gospel text, he has saved you by bearing all temptation and keeping God's law perfectly, carrying the full weight of man's transgressions upon himself. As Isaiah reminds us, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Amen.